In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Well, thank you for joining us on this Monday morning as you get ready to start your week, and for joining the broadcast for the Word for Life. Thank you. My name is Pastor Ken. I'm the pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and I have Jack Gardner in studio with me. He's our producer for the program, and we're thankful that you joined us today. So, Jack, good to have you here as we get ready to start another week. I want to just let you know that July 3rd, Sunday, we have one service outside here at Brookside, 10:15 to about 11:15, 11:30. And then we have just a great time of fellowship all afternoon here with a lot of food, fellowship, games, activities for kids, for teens, for adults. And so I think we even have a cornhole tournament. You like playing cornhole, Jack?
I haven't played a whole lot of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
are you pretty good at it?
Well, I'd like to think I'm pretty good at it, but I'm not. But, you know, I got to say one story. We had some activities on Sunday nights here a couple summers ago, and I was playing with a fella who had not really played that much, and he had trouble hitting the board at first, and the fella that he and his partner were going up against was just kind of talking trash at me. And next thing I know, the fella that's on my team puts four right in the hole. That's called cornhole. That means you win. So I need to go looking for him to get him on my team.
There
that's
you
for
go.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us as we've been looking at Joshua and the changes that have been going on. Moses is dead, the leader. We've said it often that when the man of God dies, God himself does not die. God is not dead, and God continues to work. And he's going to work through Joshua, and he wants Joshua to be able to be courageous in everything that is taking place. As we're building our way through chapter 1, we talked about Joshua, you need to face the facts. That was verses 1 and 2. Don't keep looking at the past. Moses is gone. Verses 2 and 4, get up and get going. I've given you some land, and it's your land, and I'm calling you to action right now. And that was in verse 3, that this is the promise, every place the sole of your foot will tread, that will be yours. And then in verse 5, he was giving Joshua that encouragement, do not be afraid, I'm with you. And then as we began last week, we ended on being courageous. That's verses 6, 7, 9, and 18. That courage comes again from the backing and my faith in God. And it enables us to meet the danger and the opposition or the challenges of life with fearlessness, calmness, and firmness. God was letting Joshua know you can be confident in what you're wanting to do here and what I'm wanting you to do. But before God, Jack, could fulfill his promises concerning the land, Joshua would have to exercise faith to be strong and of good courage. One writer said, divine sovereignty is not a substitute for human responsibility. Warren Wiersbe put it this way, in short, God's promises are prods, not pillows. You just can't rest on your laurels and say, well, God's going to do it. Joshua is not just he isn't being told here by God, just grit your teeth and ramp up the courage on your own. But no, you can be strong because I'm with you. That's what God was wanting him to see. Joshua must be determined to take the leadership of this great nation. He's going to need God's presence to be strong and courageous. And it's going to be a theme that's going to appear all throughout this book. You know, you might be listening this morning, you're saying, well, that's fine and dandy for Joshua. I mean, he was an important person for God because he had to lead Israel. But what about me? Maybe you might be thinking, I don't even have a family to lead. It's possible you might be thinking, man, I do have a family to lead and I do need God's help. We looked at Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6 that talks about God's presence. And I shared with you ought to mark that passage down. There in the column of Joshua 1, that God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. The promise of his presence in my life is the solution to fear. I mean, it'd be the solution to discontent. You know, Jack, a lot of times we pray, God be with me today. You know, as believers, we don't have to pray, God be with me. I remember my dad, as I would listen to him pray often, he wanted to be reminded by the Lord of his presence, that he's with me. That's a great reminder, knowing, hey, God is with me right here all the way. You know, when a man or a woman stands in awe of God, he or she will never want to give anything other than his or her best to God. And Jack, you look at the world we're living in. I mean, we're living in a culture today that has lost its way. We're looking at people that are lost. I mean, they're wandering in all kinds of different ways. You know, we're in a community, we're in a culture that longs and loves to be caught up with all the stuff of the world. I mean, even believers.
Mm-hmm.
I remember years ago, off of a missions trip, a teenager was just very passionate and sensitive to the Lord, and I was excited what God was doing in this young man's life. Got with his dad, and his dad said, I said, you know, your son Tony is really has a desire to walk with the Lord. He's sensitive. He goes, yeah, yeah. He goes, that's all good and good for you, but, you know, I want my son, I don't want my son to go down that road. I want my son to have the finer things of life. I said, are you talking about the toys? He goes, okay, call them toys if you want. That's really what I want my kids to be able to enjoy. And Jack, if I was thinking quicker on my feet, I could have said, well, you don't have to own them. You can rent them. You know? You don't have to own the Wave Runner. You can rent the Wave Runner if you want. There's nothing wrong with stuff as long as that doesn't get in the way of, you know, my devotion and my focus with the Lord.
And the streets of refined gold in heaven last a lot longer than any gold that we come across here.
Exactly. But yeah, what an awesome time for believers today to testify of Christ in these uncertain times by being strong and courageous. You know, I love it when someone says, man, at work, I just tell folks, hey, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of what's coming down the pike. Yeah, I know gas prices are high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know inflation is booming. I couldn't believe it. I bought a box of cereal and it was $6.49 the other day. I thought, man alive, it's hard to believe that I'm living within these United States paying that much for cereal.
Well, you know, it's so easy too, because, you know, we all find ourselves doing that at times. Ah, I can't believe it, you know, but really, like you said, you just got to keep coming right back to the Lord's in control. There's nothing about this that's shocking him. Yeah. Nothing at all. He knew it before it was there. He knows what's coming after.
Yeah.
And we don't have to sit there and get in a twist about things like that.
He's our confidence. You know, we're not talking about the we in some type of blurred context here of a few hundred people standing alone here. We can stand tall as he's wanting the people of Israel and the Hebrews to do when the situation demands it. Friends, let me just say this. As we face the future, we don't know exactly what might take place today. I mean, for we as believers, it could be today's the day that Jesus is going to come. He's going to show up in the air, and then we're going to go up, and we're going to be immediately in his presence. But as we go through each day, I mean, we're told we don't know what a day is going to bring forth, but may we do it with a resolve of strength and courage in order that God might receive the glory for all of it. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The Lord strengthens, or he puts his power to help us with the circumstances of life. Someone who has courage may still be afraid, but through the power of God, he can act forth with confidence. So why would Joshua need courage? Well, he had seen firsthand the rebellious nature of the people against Moses. I think we talked several weeks back, Jack, about you get a group of people together, no matter if it's a Bible study, and all of a sudden you can hear griping and grumbling starting to happen, and especially if you're the leader, it'll come back on you.
Mm-hmm. You can just see Satan at work trying to disband it from within and
to destroy
operating with a sinful nature.
Yeah. And the people had to battle it from within. Oh, I mean, just so Joshua had seen what Moses had done. Secondly, he saw, too, the giants in the land. When he was a spy, he saw that, but he wasn't afraid. He said, God's going to give us the land. You know, and I have no idea, friends today, what type of giants you might be facing. But Joshua took God at his word, and so must we. So he not only said, be courageous, but he wanted him to stay focused on the word of God.
You know, it's amazing, even when David was looking at Goliath, you know, the whole thing ended with a stone.
Yeah.
You know, leave it to the Lord to take something so big and end it with something so small.
Yeah. You know, when we were over in Israel, we went to the Valley of Elah, where that battle between David and Goliath took place. And I'll never forget our guide saying, hey, I'll take you down here to the river, to the brook, and you can get as many rocks as you want and take back to America. And he said, because we have another shipment from Phoenix coming in next week. I thought, okay, there we go. There we have it.
Wow.
Well, as we're going through chapter one here of Joshua, from courageous, he leads us back to our focus being on God's word in verse 8. You look at that phrase there in verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but you shall what? You shall meditate. Meditate. There it is. Mouth and meditate. Back to back.
Mm-hmm.
When you and I take the word in, the Lord comes along with his power. The psalmist expressed it this way in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And so the question, Jack, often is, well, then how can our words be acceptable? How can our meditations be acceptable? It's according to verse 8 here of Joshua 1, it's when this book of the law does not depart from our mouths, but we meditate on it day and night. And that Hebrew word for meditate means to mutter, or having pored over it, we ponder, we mull it over. I mean, we could make the comparison of cattle chewing the cud. I mean, that might not be a very pretty sight for you this morning as you're heading out, but it's a good physical picture of I bring it back up again. We read and we bring up what we just read again and we remember it. I mean, this is really kind of the gist of the meditation. It was the practice of the Jews to read God's word aloud and talk about it among themselves and read it to another. And that famous passage there in Deuteronomy 6 that we call the Shema, where Moses, under the inspiration of God, is telling the folks, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That's why it's important, Jack, for us to have the Word of God all throughout our home. Take down some of the sports figures that you know in the kids' rooms and maybe replace it with a passage of Scripture that they can focus on. Like, today, I can rejoice in the Lord.
Well, you never know, because just that Scripture alone on your walls could strike up a conversation, as it's done in our house, to give somebody the gospel.
Exactly, with people. Well, I hope the Word of God is important to you today. I hope you've had some time to meditate or spend in the Word. And we thank you for joining us here on the Word for Life. And if we can be of help to you, please contact us here at Brookside Baptist Church. And we want to be an encouragement and help to you. And we want people to know that the Word really is to be in my life. So have a great day, and may the Lord bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.